Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Casual Comics Cast. It's me, your casual comics guy, Joe, and I'm here today with Jeff. How you doing, Jeff?
Hi everybody. I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Happy holidays.
Oh, happy holiday.
Happy birthday. Dude, I turned on TV last night and like regular TV, Santa Claus is Coming to Town was one of the things that was on. It was like an hour and a half. I'm like, how many commercials did you jam into this?
They jammed about an hour and a half worth of commercials into it.
But I used to love those Rankin Bass Christmas specials. All of those are so good. Mm-hmm. Like you could do a whole, we can do a podcast on those. I'm surprised they never turned any of those into comics.
Are you sure they haven't? Ever did?
I don't know.
I can't imagine somebody didn't do a money grab on that.
But that's what we're here to talk about today is Christmas comics, specifically Christmas in the DC universe. Last year we did a Christmas show, which was kind of fun, and I thought I'd bring back the idea. And we grabbed some books. We grabbed Justice League number 60. We grabbed DCU Infinite Holiday Special, the Ambush Bug Holiday Special, and Batman Santa Claus Silent Night. And this is actually the Ambush Bug stocking stuffer that we read. We read the same one, right, Jeff?
Yes, we sure did.
Okay. Look at that. I found a physical copy of it. Look at that. $1.
Wow, and nice.
Because I have a pull list now, the comic shop here in Omaha, half off. That for 50 cents.
50 cents.
We'll discuss later on whether I overpaid or underpaid for that gem. But anyway, before we get into the holiday comics, you know, what's new with you and what's new in your pop culture world?
What's new? Excuse me.
What are you looking forward to? What have you seen done? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm really, 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 really looking forward to the new DC Cinematic Universe, but I'm going to have to wait for a good long while before we see anything.
Well, there is a DC movie coming out like next week.
New DC Universe.
You're not interested in the new Aquaman movie? What's it called? What's the actual title?
You know, it's Aquaman. It's on the back of our comic book right there.
Okay.
It's Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, only in theaters Christmas.
That is like a terrible title. I'm getting picky now about titles. I don't know why. And I think it's because you, me, Alan, and sometimes your brother have been seeing so many movies. Mm-hmm. And I keep seeing the rise of it's like the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should have called the whole planet?
The Kingdom on the Planet of the Apes.
Right. Yeah. Because if it's the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, it's just the Planet of the Apes that is one big kingdom.
Brought to you by your Department of Redundancy Department.
Right? So, yeah, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Not so much. Not as excited. I'll probably see it. My mom will want to see it. I'll take her to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I are planning on seeing it on one of my days off here coming up. And I think it's going to be a decent enough movie. The first one was really good, so I don't see any reason why the second one shouldn't be 75% as good as the first one.
You don't?
I'm a cockeyed optimist, Joe.
I tell you what, low expectations have not hurt me, because I went into Blue Beetle with low expectations, and I really liked it, and I went into Flash with low expectations, and I really liked that a lot, too.
Yeah.
So I will keep my expectations low. Because he just looks so dumb in that gold suit. That is not translating the screen on Jason Momoa's body.
Well, Jason Momoa is not my first choice to play that character. And he never has been. So
I feel like, how can a guy that's in water probably 23 hours a day look so dirty still?
It's all the tattoos, Joe. Those filthy, filthy tattoos.
No, it's like his hair. It's like, I don't know, you're in the ocean, but it seems like you've got that same frizz that gets from being over-chlorinated in the pool.
No, then his hair would be green.
Yeah.
Maybe. That happened to my sister once when we were kids.
It's turned green?
Yeah. She's blonde, and the chlorine greened her hair up one summer, and she was not happy.
Okay. Well, I believe it. I believe it. It never happened to me. I had blonde hair. Maybe I just was never in the pool that much.
Well, she was in a pool a lot.
Okay. Well, but you got a long ways to wait before you get to the new DC universe. It's a long ways off.
I do need to watch Blue Beetle because I haven't seen it yet. James Gunn has said that particular character will carry over into the new cinematic universe. So Blue Beetle is technically the first movie of the new regime.
Okay, and then what's the next one up? So the new Superman?
Superman Legacy is going to be the first official, you know what's to the wall, new movie.
Are you going to read the comic series that it's based on before it comes out?
You know what? No, and I'll tell you why. I read the book Jurassic Park before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And the book is so thick and so dense and so great. And about, I don't know, a tenth of the book made it to screen. And I saw the movie. And I'm like, well, what about this part? What about that part? What's going on here? I'd rather just go in and see the movie and experience the movie. And then afterwards, if I really liked it, maybe I'll go back and look at the comic.
I assume it's going to be loosely based on the same way like Avengers Infinity War and everything was like loosely based on the Infinity Gauntlet. I suspect with comics, you wouldn't have that problem of being like, oh, I wish they had done this any more than any other comic book fan has.
Yeah. Maybe they should say, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know what? Let's do our Christmas wishes at the end. I talked to you about Christmas wishes and doing that at the end. Let's do our Christmas wishes for the new universe as we go through this. Let's think about it. And at the end, we'll say, if Santa could bring me some goodies next year in the new DC universe, what would it be? So we'll get there. So we'll pause on that. The one thing that I am excited about for the holidays, and I know you're not a huge Doctor Who fan, man.
Right.
I have been watching the specials. I watched special one, special two. I'm going to watch special three tonight. And then preparation for the Christmas episode, I could not be more thrilled with the new Doctor Who because I was a fan. I was a fan who started with the Ninth Doctor. You know, just I had a moment of a week where I had a medical procedure and I needed to stay on the couch, and I powered through the Ninth Doctor. I felt like sometimes it was a little bit of homework to do. People told me, do it, you'll be glad later. And then by the time it got to the end of that season and then on to the next one, I just could not get enough Doctor Who. I became like the biggest Doctor Who fan. I think you remember those days. I was going to Comic-Con and just looking for people, other Doctor Who fans. And it was really good. And then, between COVID and everything that happened, and they got a new showrunner on the show, it just became, and I feel bad because I was so excited for the casting of Jodie Whittaker. And I think she's such an amazing actress. I think she did an incredible job as the Doctor. I think the material they gave her to work with was so weak. And I don't even want to go into the things that people are mad about changing Doctor's continuity, because that can change and unchange all the time with Matt Smith. Matt Smith broke the regeneration rule of how many regenerations a doctor could have. So I'm not going to get complain about any continuity they broke in the Jodie Whittaker era, but just they didn't give her anything interesting to do. And I was like, and then also because of COVID, the pacing became nightmarishly long, long, long times between seasons. Interest fell off. It just got not good. I finished it all. I'm glad I did. There were moments of good stuff in there. But man, from like the first 10 minutes of this new one with Russell T. Davies running it again, it was just like it never skipped a beat. It was like all my favorite episodes. And so I cannot be more excited for the new season coming up.
Wow, that sounds cool. I don't know why I never got into it. You'd think that with everything that I enjoy, that would just be a given, that Doctor Who would be right there for me. I never got into it for some reason. But I have seen some of the modern era ones, and I was actually really impressed with them.
Yeah, I went back and I watched, because that got me interested in the old ones. And I was interested in some old ones. It's still the more modern era that I like, but if you're interested and you've got time off over the holidays and you want to do, let's look at three or four episodes, it'll be the ones that'll like be the litmus test for you. Happy to run that experiment while we've got some time off over the holidays. But it occurred to me yesterday what I completely missed, because David Tennant is filling in these specials as the Doctor. I haven't gotten to the point yet why he regenerated into the same face and same body he had before.
Uh-huh.
But the moment in the special two last night, I was watching, like, oh yeah, I forgot how fun it is to watch him talk mumbo jumbo really fast, outsmarting people, and just flipping switches and pressing buttons. And there's a good scene where he's just flipping switches, pressing buttons, and talking, and then the villain is trying to escape, and they're trying to get out, and he just switches and buttons. I could just watch him do that. Or I felt like I was watching him do it for like 5 minutes. It was so entertaining.
That's how I feel about really good actors. I always say I could sit there and watch them eat soup, because I can't think of a more boring and disgusting thing to watch another human being do. But if an actor is really great, I'll sit there and watch that. Sure. The same thing with flipping switches.
It's just like, I forgot how central that was to Doctor Who in the era, which is, he's not a violent person ever. He never uses a gun. And what they've talked about is, like, people are like, well, he's super smart. And I think one of the things they clarified with the 10th Doctor's era is, it's not that he's so smart. He is. He's been around forever. He's super old, so he's got a lot of knowledge. But the term they kept using that clicked with is, like, I'm clever. I'm very clever, which is quick-witted. And he can outthink you because he can think faster than you can. And therefore, things like flipping switches and pressing buttons, he's able to outmaneuver you in an electronic era.
Nice.
Anyway, that's enough. I'm really looking forward to the Christmas special. This is the first year they're doing a Christmas special again, because Chris Chibnall stopped the Christmas specials, which, something he wanted to try. Christmas specials had always been a Doctor Who thing, which is where they did big reveals and big fun stuff. And he just changed it. He didn't want to do Christmas specials anymore. And so now there's one this year that I get myself ready for Christmas Day.
Yeah, and the fans are probably loving that too.
I hope so. I haven't been online to see what the reactions are. And I don't know if you know, like, this episode that I'm going to watch tonight, the third special, the villain is the toy maker, and played by Neil Patrick Harris, who said he never really knew anything about Doctor Who before being cast in this role.
That's the best thing to do with actors, is get somebody who has no clue about all the history and the gravitas of the characters and storylines, and just let them, you know, play, and they're not encumbered by that sense of, oh my God, I have to really deliver on this.
And for a show that's been around for a while, I'm hearing first musical numbers.
Okay, you can have that. I'm perfectly fine letting you have that. I wouldn't bat an eye if another musical number ever showed up in a TV show that I watch.
Oh, come on. The one of the most fun episodes of Batman Brave and the Bold is the musical episode.
I don't doubt that. I haven't watched that, so I don't know.
You got to watch. There's a Batman Brave and the Bold that's a whole musical episode. It was so fun, especially because you get to hear, what's his name, who's playing Batman in that series?
Dieter Spader.
Yeah, you get to hear him sing a little bit there. Love it. All right, well, that's enough of an intro. Hopefully that gets everybody ready for the holiday season. We are going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will be talking about JLA, not Justice League of America, just JLA number 60 from DC Comics.
Great Caesar's Ghost. You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
That's right. You are, we are, and we're recording it. We're not just listening to it, Jeff.
We're living it.
I'm not just the president of the Hair Club for Men. I'm also a member.
People of a certain age
will get that. this is JLA number 60. So we went back and looked for DC Comics Christmas special, and it's like, I found this is from it says January 2002 on the cover. I certainly hope they published it in December, even though it says January 02 on the cover.
Probably.
It's called the Fight Before Christmas, and it has what I thought was Green Lantern actually beating up Santa Claus. It turns out that's not Green Lantern after all. And the JLA, Martian Manhunter, Wonder Woman, Superman, and most importantly, Plastic Man on the cover in the background, freaking out.
Yay, Plastic Man.
Plastic Man. Do you like Plastic Man? Is he one of your guys, Jeff? Is he your guy?
I love Plastic Man. I think he's fantastic, and we'll talk about that later.
Well, I mean, the reason I say, you know, fortunately Plastic Man features him on the cover is because this is a Plastic Man story, in that Plastic Man is, I you know, and I don't know who all of these characters always are. I think this guy is his friend, right?
Yeah, Woozy Winks. He's an old sidekick from the old comics.
Okay, so Woozy Winks, it's a great name, one of the sidekicks, and his wife and their kid are having Christmas. And
actually, I think that's his sister.
Oh, is it his sister?
I believe so.
I was thinking a little something else. But yeah, you're probably right. They do look a lot alike, which is frightening because neither one's drawn as a traditionally attractive person.
No.
As you would expect from a character named Woozy, who it appears to be around 9 o'clock at night is still wearing a bow tie and it's pajamas. It looks like, I'm like, is this guy a bow tie in pajamas?
No, that's just kind of what he wears all the time. That's okay. His sidekick costume, I guess.
Polka dots of various sizes on a white shirt. Yeah, no, because later you get to see he's wearing also khakis.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, hey, if you can pull it off.
Hey, but is it his daughter's kid then that he's like given a JLA signal device to, or the kid's just playing with the JLA signal device?
It's his nephew. The kid got a hold of it.
Okay.
I don't think he's supposed to have, but he did get his hands on it.
So for some reason, Plastic Man is trying to force this kid to go to bed at a reasonable hour by threatening him, as all parents do, with Santa Claus. I don't know what Woozy and Weezer and whoever else are planning to do after the kid's in bed, but you know, that happens. The kids, you want to get them tucked in so the adults will probably have probably play some Uno or something. I don't know. The kid's gonna ruin the fun.
Yeah, some wholesome family fun like that. They're playing Uno.
I mean, Plastic Man's kind of been a creep in the past, so I don't know.
Oh yeah, he started out as a villain.
Right. Maybe they're up to no good. And maybe the reason that I thought that the adult guy was in his pajamas is because it matches, his shirt literally matches the kid's pajamas. Same pattern.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I was like, why is he wearing matching pajamas with his nephew? And so the entire story turns out to be, I guess, a bedtime story that Plastic Man is telling to this kid to try and convince him to go to sleep.
Yep.
And I like the title page where they're trying to convince, he's trying to convince the kid that basically Santa Claus is a member of the JLA.
Right. He's trying to get the kid enthusiastic about Santa Claus and about Christmas, because the kid's kind of like, who cares about Santa?
Right.
Yeah. So he's telling him a story that, hey, I know the guy. He's part of my super team.
Yeah. Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you got the Justice League in this comic, which is Aquaman with his steel arm phase, Kyle Rayner being the Green Lantern, and then the typical people, and they've elected Santa Claus to be in the Justice League. And this is Merry Christmas, Justice League. Now die.
Yeah, they're like, oh, because of all of his good deeds, I nominate Santa Claus for membership. I'm like, seriously? But right? Again, this is a bedtime story for a child, so okay, sure, you got to give it to him.
But it just turns into a supervillain story that you kind of would almost expect, right? If you're going to put Santa Claus in the Justice League, he's going to use his naughty nice meter.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his sleeping and awake helmet that he can use to detect all of Santa's magic powers to just figure out what the heck is going on. And there's demons afoot who are trying to convince kids to be naughty.
Yes. He's got this demon has a subtle plan. He's sapping their energy by getting them to not believe in Santa Claus.
And the kids did some truly horrific things in their being naughty phase, including taunting a kid with a childhood taunt I had never heard, where there's a kid eating a popsicle outside in the cold, and they're taunting him by singing fat fat water rat.
Wow.
Fat fat water rat. I'm like, I've heard a lot of people like say mean things about people who are overweight, but never fat fat water rat. That is a new level of depravity.
Yeah, that's just mean. And right? And I have a hard time believing that somebody would be sitting out in the cold and the snow and eating an even colder food item.
And it's melting. It's literally the illustration, it's melting in his hands, even though he's outside in the snow eating a popsicle.
It's a bedtime story for kids, so of course it could happen.
I don't know if Mark Wade put that in the script, or if the illustrator just decided I'm going to throw that in as a funny little aside. But then I don't know this villain. They have to track down the villain Neron. You know Neron? Yeah.
He's a demon.
He is?
Yeah, he's kind of a stand-in for Satan.
But, like, was he ever part of anyone's particular rogue gallery in DC
I've
Comics?
Never heard of the guy before. I have no idea. He's brand new to me. The thing I love is that the Justice League has to go to hell to fight him.
Right? It does take an interesting turn. You know, instead of elves, he's got little hobgoblins here. He's got a satanic gingerbread man. And they just have to go to hell to fight. And they use Christmas-based powers.
Yeah, because they have to save Santa Claus, because Neron has trapped Santa Claus. So the JLA has to go and rescue him.
Right.
Yeah.
And he has been trapped inside of an action figure packaging.
He is mint on guard.
And I don't know how you felt about Santa's magic sack included on the card. reindeer sold separately. I liked it.
I didn't see that detail.
And so they have to. They actually literally say this. Say we're going to de-mint him.
I know.
De-minting.
And I'm sitting there going, no, never take them off the card.
Right? Because you are the collector. Did you ever get it? Maybe they should do a Santa Mego.
Mego has never officially released one. Other companies have.
Okay. Other companies have. They shall remain nameless.
They shall remain nameless. I'm a Mego loyalist, so they shall remain nameless.
I mean, so overall, yeah. Santa's got to go fight this demon Neron. Justice League's helping. They get turned into coal, which is great. But overall, what do you think of this issue as a celebration of the Justice League and a celebration of Christmas, Jeff?
I thought it was fun. There's one scene where he's telling the story and Superman is being attacked by these demon trolls and they're just beating on him, whatever. And Superman's like, it tickles. Which is a callback to an old comic book where when the bullets bounce off of him, he says the same thing. It tickles. So I love that little callback. That was fun.
That was my favorite, too, because it's two panels that are identical on two separate pages. And on the one, he's saying, like, they're beating him. They're saying, it tickles. And because Plastic Man is telling the story, the kid says, but isn't that magic? Doesn't Superman get hurt by magic? And then it's the exact same panel. He's going, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, you're right. And suddenly he's susceptible to the magic demon.
Right.
Yeah, that was funny. I love that part.
I liked it. So what did you think of this issue, Jeff?
This issue was fun because it's told from Plastic Man's point of view. So, of course, every part of the story is embellished with making it seem like Plastic Man is the leader of the Justice League. He talks himself up quite a bit. But, you know, in the end, it's a silly little story and it's fun. And there's elements of Santa Claus in it. And because it's a story being told to a child, I can buy into the fact that Santa Claus is interacting with the Justice League and it's great and everybody's having a good time. So this one I would give a thumbs up to this comic book. I really enjoyed
it. Okay. Yeah, I would too. I think there's some nice little touches and it was like I'm watching and I'm like, why does Santa Claus now have heat vision? And because in my mind, Santa Claus has enough cool magic powers that you wouldn't need to do that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just Plastic Man telling the story, getting increasingly desperate to keep this kid's attention. He's like, oh, now Santa has heat vision. And now he's got brass knuckles and he's beating these people up. So, yeah, overall, I thought it was fun. I mean, it was worth a read. You know, I would have had fun if I had bought it and read it back then. I had fun buying and reading it now. So if you're looking for some DC Christmas stories, you could do a lot worse than the JLA number 60 from 2002 written by Mark Waid.
I heartily agree.
Aha, so we agree.
We
that
do.
That means it's time to move on to something more divisive, which we will talk about the DCU Infinite Holiday Special and Ambush Bug's Stocking Stuffer when we come back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Superman service at bizarro prices.
Love it. So we're here talking Christmas comics today. And this, I think we're going to get through two here in one segment, even though these are two of the longer books that we read.
Yeah.
And we'll start with the DCU Infinite Holiday Special. And I did not realize from February of 2007, I'm not going to list the whole creative team because I never know when I pick these up blind This is a whole anthology. So the stories in here are Green Lantern in a Hector Hammond Christmas by Keith Champagne. I think it's Keith Champagne.
Probably.
Shadow Pact in Christmas Spirits from Bill Willingham. Supergirl in All I Want for Christmas from Joe Kelly. Trials of Shazam in Gift of the Magi, Tony Bedard. The Flash in Father Christmas from Ian Boothby. Batwoman in Lights from Greg Rucka. And Superman and Yes, Tyrone, There Is a Santa Claus from Kelly Puckett, the writer. So quite the array of stories. And rather than covering all the stories, Jeff, I just thought I'd ask you, what was the best story that you think you read in here? And I might ask you for a second choice, because I think we both ended up with the same first choice.
I'm going to say that as far as touching a nerve and touching some emotions, I thought that the Green Lantern story, A Hector Hammond Christmas, really kind of hit the mark. It was a nice throwback to Hal Jordan's Christmases as a child.
Yeah. So in that, and I think when we read it, you had to explain some of the characters to me. Green Lantern is called into a scientific facility. I don't even know. Do they ever name? Oh, Edwards Air Force Base. And there's what I thought was like a MODOK looking dude, a giant head naked dude in a vat of chemicals with a bunch of wires sticking out of his head. Who is that guy?
I don't really know who the character is. All I know is that he was the main bad guy. As far as humans are concerned, the main bad guy in the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie, played by what's his name? Skarsgård fella. Whose name eludes me.
Stellan Skarsgård? Ian Skarsgård?
It's one of those guys, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, that was that same character. So I really don't know much about him, but it appears as if he has hyper-developed mental acuity and the ability to read minds and invade minds and do all kinds of interesting mental stuff.
Okay. And so, I mean, this is an interesting story because he does get inside Green Lantern's head, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like any good short story, there's a twist at the end because he's trying to use Green Lantern's memories for some nefarious purpose to turn him against Christmas or against...
I took it that he's kind of trying to pardon the phrase, get off on experiencing Hal's emotions. It's like he's a leech and he can't do anything, you know, himself because he's trapped in this cage. So he has to vicariously live through other people's experiences and emotions.
Mm. Okay. But yeah, that was an interesting story because it was a story that was uplifting at the end, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if people listen to this and care if we spoil them or not, but I mean, any short story is going to have a twist, but ultimately it ends up being an emotionally uplifting story instead of a dark and depressing story.
Absolutely. Right? Because he gets to reconnect with his dad for a moment.
Right. So yeah, I'm with you. That was one of the top on my list. I think actually like my favorite one was, and maybe it's colored a little bit from my past that, you know, my past was my dad bringing home random comic books that I had no idea what they were.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if I've told this story. My dad worked, was in the Army Reserves. And so 2 weeks per summer and one weekend per month, he's on the base. And the comic shops, you know, back then you didn't sell a product. You got your money back from the distributor. This happened at bookstores everywhere. They don't just ship the whole book back to them. You tore the cover off, returned the cover. They would know that it was, you weren't going to sell it. And then they would give it to you. Well, instead of, I don't want to get anybody in trouble from 60 years ago, who's probably not around anymore, but however long ago this, you know, instead of the local comic book shop or the bookstore or whatever, wherever they were getting them, instead of destroying the materials, they would tear the covers off and they would just give them away to the army base. So the guys had something to read to keep them entertained.
Oh, cool.
So they didn't sell them for profit, right? But they were donating them. So my dad would come home like with years old comics because nobody wanted them anymore. They had no covers on them, and I had no context. And like, what is this comic about? I have like no idea. And imagine this. You know the Legion of Superheroes, right, Jeff?
I'm familiar with them. Yeah, yeah.
you know of how complicated their continuity is? I would get like an issue, and then I would get an issue like 7 issues later, and I would have none of the story in between, and I would have to like make it up in my head of what I thought. And I'm like, what do I think happened? Why is there a dude named Matter Eater Lad who seems like he's ready to become a literal hero, Jeff? And I had to look up the story when I got older because I remembered some of these stories. I'm like, he was going insane. I'm like, why is Matter Eater Lad going insane? And why are they worried about him blowing something up? I don't know. It was like, I found out the full continuity of the story is, to save the Legion of Superheroes, he ate a nuclear bomb that was going to be detonated in their head. The radiation. Because his power was he could eat anything.
Of course.
I don't know, because they never showed it, whether he like had a knife and fork and was eating these things. But he could do it.
Just off the top of my head, I'm just going to say uranium apparently has billions and billions of calories in a very, very small amount.
Well, maybe that's what was making him so angry. He had a little tummy ache.
He was lethargic and was like, I don't wanna.
We should do a Legion of Superheroes sometime, because I'll tell you who my other favorite Legionnaires were. Sidebar. Bouncing Boy and Duo Damsel, because they were married. I always had a thing like Vision and Scarlet Witch. Like when I was growing up, I was obsessed with comic book characters who are married because they always had a relationship that was fun to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Bouncing Boy was just a heavy set dude.
Sure.
Who could blow himself up like Violet Beauregard to immensely huge sizes and bounce around in an almost indestructible fashion.
Nice.
He was fat water rat.
Now, let's not be mean.
Come on. My doctor just told me I need to lose 40 pounds. I'm not body shaming anybody.
Especially not fictional comic book characters.
Especially not because he was my hero, because he was married to Duo Damsel, who was... You know, as a 10-year-old boy, I'm thinking this is a very attractive woman for Bouncing Boy to be married to. And her power was she was just a normal woman, normal intelligence, normal strength, normal everything, who could split apart into two normal.
Wow, that sounds like a little bit of wish fulfillment on the part of the writers and the artists.
But not really, because her tragic backstory is she was from a planet where every person could split into three identical people, but one of them had, she was deformed, so she could only split into two, not three.
Oh, so this is how we sympathize with the character.
Well, not deformed. I guess she had a mutation or something. Mm-hmm. And her society is like, oh, you can only split into two. You get out of here.
Of course. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Those were the goofy things. And so that leads into like my favorite one in here is going to be the Shadow Pact story, Christmas Spirit, because it is this ragtag group of characters that I know marginally, and I know of them the best. I know Blue Devil because I used to read Blue Devil comics and I always thought he was a fun character.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Nightmaster, wielder of the powerful sword of night, which makes sense if he's called Nightmaster.
Sure.
I have no idea who that is. Enchantress, who you reminded me was from the first Suicide Squad movie.
Yes.
She was in that. Nightshade. No idea. I've heard of Nightshade, but I don't know that I've read a comic with Nightshade in it. Ragman borrows the mystic energy from his ragged suit of captive souls. And then my favorite, Detective Chimp. I always loved Detective Chimp because he's just a monkey who wears a Sherlock Holmes hat and a duster.
And he's super smart.
And he's super smart. And he solves crimes. I said he's a monkey. He's not. He's a chimp. As this is named Detective Chimp.
We shouldn't wish to primate shame anyone.
Right? And Santa is being sabotaged by the Anti-Christmas League. And what you find out is he employs Shadow Pact to do what they do best. Hide in the shadows like commandos and protect him as he's on his trans-global journey to deliver toys so the Anti-Christmas League, who like is equipped with rocket launchers and the such, can't stop Santa from his Christmas rounds delivering toys to all the good girls and boys.
Aw, neither snow nor rain nor gloom of night nor the ACL shall stay this courier.
I liked it. It was goofy and it was characters that I wasn't so invested in that I felt like I learned a little bit about them, and they were fun characters, and I didn't have to be like, oh, there's some continuity missing, or why that doesn't seem in character, or whatever. I enjoyed it, right, for that reason, is that I grew up reading comics that I had no context for, had no clue who any of those people were. But if you could make a standalone story entertaining with characters that I had no idea who they were, I always thought that was fun.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun getting to know who these characters were a little bit. And really, these are very, very short stories, so you don't get a whole lot, but you do get exposed to them. It's like, oh, I might want to find out more about these characters. Yeah. And I do have a question about Nightshade, but go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
So which character do you want to get to know more about, Jeff?
Well, Detective Chimp, hands down. I mean,
dude, I have some characters. I have some good Detective Chimp comics we can read. I have. Mm-hmm. He's one of my favorite. Did you notice his T-shirt that he's wearing at the end? It says, "I'm your mistletoe baby."
I missed that detail too.
Underneath his like jacket.
Uh huh. And yeah, his deerstalker hat.
Detective Chimp has been well established in comics as being every bit of Batman's equal as a detective.
Huh. It's comics, so sure, why not?
I mean, come on, Gorilla Grodd's a thing.
Yeah, I suppose. King Shark is a thing. Right? Yeah.
So anyway, which character do you want to get to know more about? Detective Chimp, and what else were you going to say about this?
I'd like to know if this Nightshade is the same character that appeared in an episode of the 90s John Wesley Shipp Flash TV show, where they had a character called the Deadly Nightshade.
Okay. Did she summon and command physical darkness? Because that's what this one does, it says.
Nightshade was a woman in this comic. It was a man in the TV show. So okay. I'm wondering if they just gender swap for the TV show or if they're totally unrelated.
Should be. What was his powers in the show?
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I watched it, but the Nightshade just popped into my head. I'm like, oh, hey.
You're going to need to put Detective Chimp on the case with that scant amount of evidence. I can't track it down, Jeff.
Or I'm going to have to go downstairs and crack open my box set of 90s Flash episodes and give it a whirl.
Yeah. What were the ones you thought? What was the one you would call the weakest in this anthology?
I'm going to go with the Gift of the Magi, starring the Trials of Shazam crew. Here's my note that I wrote. This story sucked. basically, it's just the gods are taking human form and they're having a kind of an office party. And right. I didn't care about any of it.
Right.
It just didn't. It's like it just sat there. What did you think?
I was like, this has nothing to do with anything Shazam that I'm aware of or know or think is fun or think is interesting.
Yeah.
And I it's only like 7 pages. I could barely make it through. I was like, oh my gosh, next. Yeah.
They name check Freddie Freeman in it, and he may actually show up in it in some sort of guise, but I couldn't figure it out.
Right. So there's that one. I think if I had to pick, that's probably going to be The Lights by Greg Rucka.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's a Hanukkah story, which I have nothing against, but it features one of the Batgirls, who in, as I'm reading it, I feel like she's just straight up murdering people. I mean, she's throwing batarangs that get lodged in people's foreheads, in their skulls.
I know, right?
On the ground bleeding with their skull being punctured by a batarang. I'm like, there's no way. And they try and show that one of them is alive later. I'm like, probably not.
Yeah.
But it was just like straight up murder stuff that then tried to have a happy ending.
And this is the Kate Kane Batwoman from season one of the Batwoman TV show, right? The same character?
If you say so.
Because they dropped
because they call her Katya.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is.
So it's gotta be Kate Kane.
Yeah. And the actress quit the same after costume. Season one. Yeah. The actress quit after season one, so they brought in a different actress and a different character to carry on with the show. But my sole note for this one was, I've never cared about Batwoman. It's just like, I don't care.
Once you get deep enough into the Bat family, it becomes hard because there are Batwoman, Batgirls that I have cared about.
Yeah.
There's never this one.
Yeah.
Cassandra Cain's been interesting to me off and on. And, you know, Barbara Gordon, I thought was awesome. Now she's Oracle, which I think
it's
cool. But
she's always been my Batgirl.
There's so many Bat girls, Bat women, Bat men, Bat man, Bats. Just every combination of human species and gender, and a bat, and there's one.
Do they have bat man mite? Bat? What's that?
They do have bat do they have mite even?
Oh, bat mite. Yeah, I was gonna say, do they have man bat woman?
Man bat woman. You know, they could. I would not be surprised. I don't know if you know that there is a Spider-Man villain called Lady Stiltman.
I think you brought her up before.
It's Stiltman's daughter, and her name was Lady Stiltman. So if there's not a man bat woman, somebody needs to get on that immediately.
Uh-huh.
And then make a woman Batman. Oh, I guess they already have enough bat women. I don't know.
Yeah.
Other stories in this book, I didn't super care for the Supergirl one. No pun intended there.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's kind of dark.
Oh, very dark. Yeah.
Which I don't think Superman and Supergirl need to be. It's almost like the opposite. The Hal Jordan story starts dark and ends on an uplifting note. This starts with something light and fluffy that Superman's answering letters from kids and gets into like really dark domestic abuse situations almost. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's what I want to be. I mean, I don't know if that's what I need for my Superman Christmas special.
Domestic abuse and mild blasphemy as well.
That alcoholism, neglectful parents. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Flash story I forgot even existed in this book until I picked it up today to get going. Yeah. But then I think the book ends on a good. I really like the last story in the book too, which is yes, Tyrone, there is a Santa Claus, which is you know, it's a fun callback to me because it's, you know, the old days when people wrote letters to newspapers. As a kid writes a letter, the Daily Bugle and Perry White's like, brilliant. We got to look at this, Clark.
Yeah, no, that was my runner-up story for best one.
It is. That's a delightful story because it is just, it's top to bottom. It's so solid. Just even the part where it's like Perry's pitching the idea and he's like, Jimmy Olsen's like, you know who this looks like a job for? And he's like, I think I do, Jimmy. And he takes off his glasses and he goes, wink.
Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen is in on his secret identity, I guess.
He is. I like it. And I'm not going to. Superman shows up dressed as Santa to make this kid's dream come true. And so does Batman.
Batman's just in his jet.
Oh, that's right. But Batman's like hovering in his jetpack. He's like, what are you doing, Clark? This is beneath you.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Talks him out of delivering to the kids so that he can go deliver to the kids as Bat Santa Claus. And I wrote like when I was taking notes on it, what I wrote down was Superman caves but feels guilty. So he goes to deliver the presents anyway, only to find Bat Santa beat him to it. In his rage, Superman beats the ever-loving snot out of Batman in front of the kids, effectively ruining Christmas.
I like how Clark, or like Superman, looks stunned. Because first off, Superman has crafted himself a Santa outfit with his chest emblem S on it.
Right, and it looked good.
It did. But why is Batman trying to ruin Christmas? Because he's got the kids calling him Bat Santa. And he's wearing clearly his Batman mask.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Couldn't you just show up as just Santa? You got to be like, no, kids, sorry, Santa sucks. Bat Santa. Like, it's like what we were just talking about. Batman, Batwoman. There's got to be a Bat Santa now. Got to be a Bat Santa.
Yeah. This story was a callback to the late 50s, early 60s Batman and Superman comics when Batman definitely was on the decline in popularity and in storytelling, because the stories were all goofy and silly and weird. And that's exactly what this one feels.
Yep. I'm with you. Well, I think we talked about this book a lot longer than I intended to, because we were going to do Ambush Bugs stocking stuff for now. So maybe we should take a quick break and see if we can get to Ambush Bugs stocking stuffer. And then Batman, Santa Claus, Silent Night after this break.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. You know the rules. We're not done until one of us can't get up.
So here's some pressure, Jeff, as I only preloaded one more bump on the board. So we got to get through both of these books. Otherwise, we're going to have to recycle one.
Well, I tell you what, I can go through Ambush Bug pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it's funny because we both have fond memories of Ambush Bug from reading comics back in the day.
Loved him.
And I used to, I did too. And when I picked this up, I remembered that I never completely comprehended this issue. And mm-hmm. I was like, man, if you think, I've never heard of Ambush Bug, but I want to know if Ambush Bug's something I'd like or not, don't start with this one, because it is, and it's like a double-sized issue also.
Mm-hmm.
What was your, you know, what was your history with Ambush Bug?
Our friend CJ, mm-hmm. back in high school, he was a year behind me in high school. So, he was my main touchstone as far as actual comic books and comic book collecting were concerned. And, we both had goofy senses of humor and we loved absurd stuff, Monty Python, that kind of thing. And he introduced me to Ambush Bug, and I kind of fell in love with the character. And it was one of the few comic books that I actually went and collected, you know, several consecutive issues. I didn't really do that much. I did that with some Star Trek, DC Star Trek comics, and with Ambush Bug. And so
yeah,
that's my closest tie to actual comic book collecting.
Ambush Bug ran. Ambush Bug first appeared in a Superman comic, I want to say. And then he was very much, he's almost a little bit of a precursor to Deadpool in yep. that he was always breaking the fourth wall. He was like a Bugs Bunny type character in the DC universe.
Yes.
And he had a limited series called Ambush Bug, four mm-hmm. issues. And then they did Son of Ambush Bug, which I want to say was six issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did two holiday specials. And that's the entirety of the Ambush Bug run in the DC universe. And I don't know that people are clamoring to see him back. And I don't know if it's because it's Christmas. Like, because if you're going to put out something that people don't know the character, and you're going to put out this is going to be the first introduction. It is not a great introduction. And it is, for the time when comics were 75 cents, this was $1.25, almost twice the cost of a regular comic book.
Right.
But
it's about, you know, 2 to 3 times thicker and has more content too.
It has more content, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Because I don't, you know, there's no sense in trying to go through the plot of this book because there isn't nope. a plot. It is very, nope. it starts out very Looney Tunes-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I think the entire story for me and be summarized with, you get through the main story, and again, like they kind of you know, they do a lot of talking directly to the reader.
Mm-hmm.
They get through the main story, and then it's just a page where the it's just white blocks and the writer saying, "Oh, I can't tell you how glad I am this issue's over," and they're like, "What? This is supposed to be 40 pages and it says, don't make me do 40 pages. You've got to do it. It's in your contract. But we can't possibly be funny for 40 pages. I'm like, you are so right. You can't. And you weren't.
Nope, you sure weren't. Yeah. And I can see why Ambush Bug only lasted as long as he did. The premise really plays itself out quickly. It's a bright flame that goes out, burns up its fuel very, very quickly.
Yes, it is that. I mean, it's interesting to see as a relic of its era. There's a lot of inside jokes that I'm sure were funny if you worked there,
mm-hmm.
or if you were like an tons industry knowledge insider.
Yeah.
It starts with a Looney Tunes reference.
Mm-hmm.
Continues with the I should have taken a left turn at Albuquerque. Should have taken a left turn at Albuquerque.
Exactly.
Which is also a parody of a Vietnam War movie. That they combine, right? Because they combine that is he gets out at what he thinks is Pismo
Oh,
Beach,
right.
And he's yeah. in Vietnam.
Right.
And so it becomes a Vietnam War movie parody. And then it goes back into Looney Tunes with a full-on duck amok with mm-hmm. one of the characters that's supposed to be one of these, I don't know whether it's an alien or what, is being pretty much tortured the way Daffy Duck was by the animators and writers.
Right.
And it's almost even a little bit mean-spirited.
Yes.
And then it makes no sense because in the middle there's this big break and you're like, what is happening? And then if you make it through all the way to the end, like I did, because I was trying to see what was it about this that I like it, the entire detour is because when you get to the last page, you're like, oh, this thing, haha, it was actually page 19. Like page 19 was completely out of place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my gosh, it's too much.
Yeah.
It was too much. And especially if you're trying to pick up a new character that you don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I loved him back in 1986 when this came out. But now today I just hated this comic book. I couldn't stand it. There's a lot in there that young people of today would find very, very cringy, that mm-hmm. yeah, stuff that just doesn't fly today. There's only so much that you can really tolerate of them.
I know the term you want to use.
They're
self-gratifying.
They're creatively self-gratifying. They're having a wonderful time, but I'm sitting here going, what about me? I'm over here and what are you doing? So it just doesn't hold up at all.
Right.
And I was disappointed.
So yeah, 50 cents. Wow. 50 cents, yeah. I got a comic book for 50 cents, whatever.
You may have been taken on that one. Yeah, it's worth 50 cents. Yeah.
Sure it is. Yeah. I don't know.
Like I said, in my notes here, I'll take Deadpool any day over Ambush Bug. Yeah. Any day.
Well, and even people have told me, and Eric wants to come back on the show with me and do a Lobo mm-hmm. overview, who he tells me is a much better precursor in the DC universe to Deadpool, who does that kind of thing better. So yeah, yep. I loved Ambush Bug for a hot minute.
Yep.
And man, trying to revisit Ambush Bug through this makes me actually feel like I don't want to go back, because I'm like, nope. Maybe I just liked it in the moment and maybe that magic is gone. And if I reread it today, I wouldn't like it. So let's be done with the Ambush Bug stocking stuffer and move on to Batman Santa Claus Silent Night. Silent Night, yes. With a K.
Silent Knight.
Dig it.
Silly Arthur King.
So Batman Santa Claus Silent Night by Jeff Parker and Michelle Bandini. This is a brand new comic, just hit the shelves 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And stars Batman and Damian Wayne, who I think you said that you were interested in getting to know more about, because I think Damian's going to feature prominently in the new DC universe, right?
Yes. Batman Brave and Bold is going to be about Batman and Damian Wayne Robin.
So have you read any Batman Robin comics with Damian before?
I have now. I read this one.
But not before.
No.
Do you know of the character?
His origin. He's Batman's biological son, and he was raised by the ninja guys. What's their names?
Yeah, so he's the biological son, I believe, of Batman and Talia al Ghul.
Right.
Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Right.
And so Batman didn't know he had a biological child raised by those people in that evil environment. And now is Batman's ward, which I that was a pretty clever right away, with Batman trying to teach him how to be normal.
Right. Exactly.
Because the book does open with some carnage.
Mm-hmm.
With some Christmas carolers getting killed.
Yep.
And they're literally coming on the scene with sheets over these people that are like bloody.
Yeah.
They're like dead bodies. And Damian's like, somebody who really doesn't like carolers. Batman says, only say those things around me, and try to get to a point where you only think them. Like, just that's not a thing you say around normal people when there's dead bodies around.
Right.
Dead.
Right. Especially when there might be family members gathering as well at the scene. Yeah. No, he definitely needs to work on that. And I can see, just from that opening scene alone, I can see exactly why James Gunn wanted to use the Damian Wayne Robin instead of any mm-hmm. of the others. That's where he wanted to go, because that character has a lot of potential for nasty action and wicked sharp comedy.
Yep. I think there's a lot of potential there. The story I thought was pretty interesting. Fan favorite of mine, Zatanna, pops up. I love Zatanna.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Anytime she's gonna show up in a book, I still get a kick out of her. All of her magic words are just the words printed backwards. And like, it's just like her literally saying what's supposed to happen with her magic, and it's printed backwards. You're like, look at those magic words.
Yeah, it took me a second, but I'm like, oh, I get it. I see. This is where my reading old Dick Tracy comics, that training comes in handy here, because he would name characters with just reversed spelling of words.
Right.
Know? Like Jerome Trose was a little person, and Trose backwards is short. Oh, okay. I get it.
I didn't know that about Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been a Zatanna. I don't even want to say it's a gag. That's just been her gig forever. Like, literally, she just literally says what's supposed to happen, but they print the words backwards.
Right. I love it. She's kind of fun. I'd like to learn more about her.
She's a fun character. She's part of, I think, Justice League Dark, if you ever watched that animated piece there. But so there's bat like creatures on the loose that are vampire ish.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're vampires. And Santa Claus coming to town with a crossbow, riding his reindeer, ready to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
And guess
he's
what?
All out of bubble gum. it's just funny because like Santa is a huge burly dude, and this is carrying wooden stakes with him and a crossbow. He's definitely the Norse hunter who is ready to take on these creatures, but every time he shows up and meets somebody, he just tells them their full name and their address when they were growing up, and like, Santa, it is you.
And I love that they made him part of the Norse pantheon on the level with Thor and all of those guys, and he actually comes from Asgard in this continuity, and was left behind on Earth along with another character a long, long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm. It's not a spoiler. He's left back here with Krampus.
Ah, there you go.
And Krampus is like in this comic, you know, he's there. And I really like the backstory. Krampus is like scary looking, but he's goofy.
Right.
And so he just likes to scare kids. He doesn't ever hurt him. He just likes to give him a little scare. And so because he thinks it's hilarious. And so then Santa starts making toys and giving them to the kids to make up for this jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's how Santa Claus started. So nice.
That's how started. I like it. And then I kept going. I'm like, this book's almost over. I got to the end. I didn't realize this is the first part of the story. I'm like, guys, right. Christmas is in like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. How are you putting it out like a multi-part story? Like, I just literally assumed, because this comic came out in the beginning of December,
mm-hmm.
and it's Christmas themed, that it was a one-shot, but it is not. Be aware of that. I think two parts to this, and I think the second part comes out tomorrow.
If you were paying attention, there's a big number one right there on the cover.
I know, but what does that mean?
It means it's the first issue.
Ambush Bug Stocking Stuffer also has a big number one on the cover.
Oh, that's too bad, because it was a big number two.
I know, Jeff, and as you were saying that, I feel bad because I was flipping through this Batman comic and I realized that they did have the tribute to Keith Giffen. Keith Giffen passed away. Yes.
Yeah, I did
Keith
see
Giffen,
that.
Writer of Ambush Bug.
Right.
Sorry,
you know what?
Sir, but
that wasn't the only thing he did, so.
It's not. And like I said, we used to like Ambush Bug. But overall, is this a book that you're, here's the test. It ends, it says, up next. Up on the rooftop, click, click, click. Are you going to read the second issue?
You know what? The artwork in this,
the story?
The artwork in this is fantastic. Yep. The story is really interesting and good. And you know, before how I said, oh, they made Santa Claus interact with Batman in the first one, and but it was a kid's story, so it was okay. And I thought, oh my God, they're gonna have Santa Claus and Batman interacting, and I'm not going to like it. But I ended up loving it because they had an interesting backstory for him that made me go, oh, okay, I'm familiar with the whole Asgard and all of that stuff. So this is kind of familiar to me. And they're just tweaking it a little bit to add Santa Claus. I'm like, okay, sure, great. Let's read this story. And I really got into it and I enjoyed it. So I, you know what? Number two, I just might.
I really like it. And I'm going up to the comic book shop tomorrow because my comics should be up there. And I'm going to get the second issue because I thought it was really good.
Nice.
And I'm with you. The art was beautiful. It was cool to see Batman and Damian. I hope Zatanna sticks in the story. She sort of vanished there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting, I mean, I would be aware people is, yes, it's a Christmas story. It features Santa Claus, but there's some brutality and some blood in this one.
Oh, so, yeah.
Be on the lookout. It reminded me a little bit of Violent Night. You saw that with me, right? I love that movie. I'm going to watch that movie again before Christmas.
Oh, man. That's got to become a tradition, I think. It was good. It was horribly graphic and awful, but it was good.
I wish they'd bring that back to the Alamo because I don't need to see Christmas Vacation. Christmas Vacation is not a movie that landed with me. But anyway, let's finish that up. We'll talk about Christmas movies and whatever. When we come back, we'll finish up our Christmas episode. We'll talk about Christmas wishes. We'll talk about Christmas movies. We'll talk about whatever. Christmas.
Yay.
That we can.
Shabby little man in a shabby little room. It's the Casual Comics Cast.
Do you even remember recording that?
No, I don't.
Sometimes I play those and I see your face and you're like, what did I say? I think that was from our Ahoy Comics.
Probably.
And you were just grabbing random lines from some of the Ahoy Comics.
Uh-huh. I do remember, sitting down and figuring all those out. But I don't remember that one specifically. Oh, it's fun.
And appropriate.
Kind of.
So, anyway, Christmas, we were talking about Christmas movies a little bit. All right, so let's finish that, because I was going to say Christmas movies. I got to get better at teases. I got to be like, I'm going to name for you the shocking Christmas movie that you will not believe I don't like when we come back. I'm going to practice that. That's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to practice getting good at teases.
Ah, so
people have to stick
good.
Through. Actually, people probably just tune in to listen to your music and stuff. Like, fast forward, past everything else. Get to that.
I somehow doubt that.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I could never see that again as long as I live and not care.
Yeah.
I could have gone back and not ever seen it and not care.
Yeah.
Except I guess it did come out at a certain time when, before the internet, when that was your only chance to see nudity, was to hope that like National Lampoon movie would have some glimpse of something there. But my wife did not remember. She was like, we should watch Christmas Vacation with the kids. I'm like, do you want me to rent it? Not watch it on cable, rent it. Yeah. I'm like, what about the nudity? She's like, what? What are you talking? Mm-hmm. People don't remember that.
Yeah. No. Vacation movies are not for children. Nope.
No. But I mean, growing up, it was on TBS or TNT.
Uh-huh. Like edited.
Five times a week.
Sure.
Edited. So people don't remember that. Uh-huh. But I'm sure when you go to the theater, you're like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, right now the movie theater that we go to, Alamo Draft House, I love it.
Yep.
But it's nonstop Elf, Christmas Vacation, those kind of things right now. And
right.
I'm waiting for them to get to other movies. I was just telling you, I saw Godzilla. Loved the new Godzilla movie, Jeff. So
uh-huh. Nice.
What about you? Christmas movie that other people like that you could just live without?
Oh gosh. Speaking of Elf, Elf.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's a nice movie and it's fun and it's cute and everything, but I don't see the appeal of watching it over and over again. That's just me.
I don't see the appeal of watching like any movie over and over and over again, but that's the one too, where it's like when people say it's a Christmas tradition, we have to watch. I guess you're right. I mean, now that you're talking about it, I'm probably just a cranky old person. Is Christmas Story. I think that's a delightful movie.
Yep.
It's a good movie. I
was just about
to
bring it. Oh no, come on now. That's one I could bring out every year and I'd be perfectly happy.
I've seen it enough. I've had my fill of Ralphie and his Ovaltine.
But it's charming and delightful. And it's got Darren McGavin. Fine. I mean, come on. Kolchak the Night Stalker as a grumpy old dad. Come on.
Like I said, it's a wonderful film. I've seen it 100 times. I don't need it again.
You know what Christmas movie I can watch every year and just love the heck out of every single time?
What's that? Once Upon a Deadpool?
But well, we'll get to that. Fight me on this one. Die Hard.
Die Hard's playing at the Alamo right now. You want to go see it?
It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yep. Even though Bruce Willis himself said that it was not. I disagree.
This is way off topic, Jeff. If people have stuck with us this long, I guess they're ready for this kind of nonsense. Do you remember there was back in the day of the internet where people would, there was some guy and he would post whole stories of a battle set up between two different people.
Yes.
Post the whole story, and then you'd go online and vote for who would win that battle. And you type your own thing. Do you remember that?
I totally remember that. And I was thinking about it the other day and I'm like, wow, I wish that was still a thing.
I'm going to go see if it's archived online somewhere. But I remember it was John McClane versus the Death Star. It's like, They had the whole setup. It's like, because he's crawling through the ducts and everything.
Yeah.
It's like the whole Death Star is trying to stop. And he's trying to. And I just remember the way the guy wrote it. It was like the elevator opens. And there's a dead stormtrooper inside with a Santa hat on and written on his armors, ho, 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 now I have a lightsaber.
Oh, man, I want to see that.
Ah, well, I'll see. Everything that was once online has got to be somewhere.
Sure.
All right, so what about Christmas wishes, Jeff? We started the show talking about the DC Universe. What are your wishes for what would happen?
My wish is that Warner Brothers becomes financially stable so that the whole future of the new DC Universe is not in question at all. And that we actually, that Gunn and Safran actually get to fulfill their wishes and get, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 movies into it. And hopefully they'll all be wonderful and they will start to eclipse the Marvel Universe.
That's a very grown up and responsible answer, Jeff. Now, think yourself 12-year-old Jeff. What would 12-year-old Jeff want to see in a movie that you haven't seen yet in the DC Universe from James Gunn?
Expletive deleted Plastic Man.
Plastic Man. Okay. I hear you.
Plastic Man. Live action would be so much fun.
Not Elastic Man. Plastic Man.
We've already seen Elastic Man in live action if you watched the Grant Gustin Flash series.
Elastic Man is boring.
Yeah. Although, yeah, no, you know, it was fun for a while, but then we had some problems and the character went away. But I would love to see Plastic Man done the right way in live action. Right. I think it would just be so much fun.
What else? Anything else on the top of your mind?
Let's get Batmite in there.
You think a little Batmite? That would be fun. Because you're going down the path I was going down. So when we started this, as I asked the question, because we were talking about the Superman movie, I'm like, I swear to God, I want to see James Gunn have every different kind of kryptonite. Green kryptonite, red kryptonite, blue kryptonite, gold kryptonite, all of the kryptonites. Because just there's some goofy, silly stuff in DC, like the Golden Age, that I think would be funny translated through his particular sensibility of, like, for people who don't know, like, red kryptonite takes away his powers permanently, unless he finds blue kryptonite, which gives it back. Right? I think it's one of the kryptonites, is it white kryptonite, makes him mutate and have a different power or something like that.
Okay.
And like, it's like, there's all kinds of different kryptonites. They all do different weird stuff. I want to see it all.
Yeah. There's that'd be gold kind of
kryptonite.
Fun.
I don't even remember what gold kryptonite does.
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember seeing all of them and knowing at one point, I mean, I've got a anthology book downstairs on my bookshelf that would tell you all about it.
Yeah.
Cause it's,
where'd you get that?
I got it when I was a kid. I got 3 books and they were, the Batman and the Superman one were anthology collections of Batman from the 30s to the 70s, Superman from the 30s to the 70s, and Shazam from the 40s to the 70s, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to go down a whole rabbit hole on the different types of kryptonite because there's a whole huge article here on it. But I do have this page from an old Superman comic, The Kryptonite Handbook.
Yes. So
it's probably dated. There's probably more kryptonites. Green kryptonite, created by the radiations of exploding planet Krypton. Exposure to it causes weakness and is eventually fatal, but only to natives of Krypton.
Right.
Red kryptonite is the result of meteoroids of green kryptonite passing through a crimson cosmic cloud. Effects on Kryptonians are unpredictable and temporary. This is like the kind of thing that would make Superman gain like 400 pounds or something like that. Right. But it was only temporary. Gold kryptonite is produced by exposing green kryptonite or red kryptonite to intense nuclear radiation. It will permanently rob Kryptonians of all their superpowers.
Ooh.
Blue kryptonite, an imperfect duplication of green kryptonite manufactured by Superman using Professor Dalton's duplicator ray machine, harmless to Kryptonians, but deadly to super bizarros.
Of course.
White kryptonite, formed when green kryptonite meteoroids pass through a space cloud, not apparently the red space cloud, but
yeah,
a different
space cloud. Yeah.
Deadly only to the plant life of any planet.
Wow.
And I'm sure there's more kryptonites that are beyond that. But I just always remember being like, why are there so many different kryptonites for Superman.
Because in the late 50s, early 60s, they were desperate for stories and they were doing all kinds of goofy science fiction stuff. So, of course, they figured out goofy stories to tell.
So, yeah, I want to see some red kryptonite that like makes Superman temporarily have like, I don't know, a kangaroo tail or something like that. Yeah. That's the kind of weird stuff that would happen.
Yeah, no, I think that would be fun. But I'd like to see them establish the character first in their universe with a grounded story, with an awesome, awesome villain. Like, say, let's go Brainiac, who we've never seen on the big screen before. Brainiac would be a lot of fun. But, you know, there's all kinds of things they can do. And I hope they're true to the spirit of the character in the same way that they were true to the spirit of the character back in 78 when they released the first Christopher Reeve Superman.
This seems impossible, but at my advanced age, I just had a revelation when you were talking about Brainiac, Jeff.
Yeah.
I think his name is a play on the word maniac.
Oh,
that never occurred to me.
I never thought of that ever. But he's smart, so he's a brainiac.
Right. I've even sung that song before, and it never occurred to me that maybe the writer was like, hey, I got a good one. Brainiac. Just because when I grew up, he was Brainiac. I don't know. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun, Jeff. Thanks for joining me, and thanks for putting up with me throwing in that Batman Silent Night comic at the last minute, because I thought that was a lot of fun.
Good choice.
To make it timely. And I'm glad, because otherwise we would have had to fill time talking with Ambush Bug Stocking Stuffer if we didn't have that book to read.
Then it was definitely a good choice.
But happy holidays, man. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. And I think I've got maybe one more episode coming before the end of the year where I'm going to be having Mark on with his cousin Mark, and we are going to talk 80s miniseries from Marvel. We're rereading Hercules, Prince of Power. So one more from the pantheon of Greek mythology this time.
Nice. So
stay tuned for that, and maybe just one more Christmas goodie before the end of the year, either here or on the blog. But thanks for joining me today, Jeff. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you all soon.
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy, at our blog, CasualComicsGuy.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.